Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Our mission is to equip you in truth with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment as a foundation for experiencing the authentic Christian life through fellowship with God and Christ. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And do remember, you can, as always, contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As we kick off another week's worth of broadcasts, I want to begin by once again thanking those of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Without you, we couldn't do what we are doing by God's grace and for His glory. So for those of you that have never supported the ministry, I'd encourage you to consider doing that. We have a special offer available for you, Gay Girl Good God. There's a little promo that preceded me on the broadcast. This book by Jackie Hill Perry, it's a fantastic resource, and it is not only fantastic, it is extraordinarily timely. Again, Gay Girl Good God, available on the web at equip.org. I just did a podcast with Jackie Hill Perry, and you'll find that she's incredibly bright, insightful, and someone that you absolutely need to read. In fact, when I read the book given to me by one of my kids, I thought it would be good to make all of my kids read that book as well. I want to start this this week with a question that I saw when I came to the in the office the other day, and that question was, could a COVID-19 vaccine potentially be the mark of the beast? And the reason I thought this was an interesting question is it was a question that apparently Kanye West would answer in the affirmative. He would say, yes, COVID-19 vaccine potentially could be the mark of the beast. And this is personal for him in that he contracted the COVID-19 virus this past February. At any rate, here's what he said in Forbes magazine. And I'm quoting him now. He said, it's so many of our children that are being vaccinated and paralyzed. So when they say the way we're going to fix COVID is with a vaccine, I'm extremely cautious. That's the mark of the beast. They want to put chips inside of us. They want to do all kinds of things to make it where we can't cross the gates of heaven. I'm sorry when I say they, the humans that have the devil inside of them. And the sad thing is that, the saddest thing is that we all don't make it to heaven, that there'll be some of us that do not make it. Well, for millions of his followers, this is no small thing. If indeed being vaccinated is tantamount to taking on the mark of the beast, and if this in tandem with having a computer chip inserted into the body will keep someone out of heaven, this decision on the part of a Christian is suddenly one of the most, if not the most, significant decisions that that person can possibly make. But what if West is wrong? What if his interpretation of Scripture is completely indefensible? What if this is just one more example of an evangelical gone wild? Well, as it turns out, West's interpretation of Holy Scripture is as misleading as it is dangerous. I say this because biblically, the mark of the beast is quite obviously a parody of the mark of the Lamb. How do you know that? You know that by learning to read the Bible in the sense in which it is intended. This is one of the points that I make in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Biblical interpretation really, really matters. Because if we interpret the Bible incorrectly, we're going to think that the Bible is a bunch of nonsense. I was listening to comments by Lawrence Krauss. He is a famous scientist, and he was making this exact same point, but he was affirming that the Bible is full of nonsense. But the reason he was making that statement is he doesn't have the slightest clue on how to read the Bible in the sense in which it is intended. But again, West's interpretation of Holy Scripture is misleading, is dangerous, because the mark of the beast is obviously a parody of the mark of the Lamb. Again, I say this because just as the mark on the foreheads of the 144,000, and here we're talking about true Israel in perfect symmetry and providentially sealed, not sort of the sensationalistic evangelical approach to what the 144,000 is. But just as that mark on the foreheads in Revelation chapter 14 symbolizes identity with the Lamb, so the mark in Revelation chapter 13 symbolizes identity with the beast. And as such, identifying with Satan's kingdom is what will keep you out of heaven, not being vaccinated. As Kanye West must surely know, the forehead and the hands of people are Old Testament symbols of their beliefs and their behavior. Let me give you an example. In Exodus chapter 13, eating unleavened bread is likened to a sign on the hand and a reminder on the forehead of the children of Israel. And thus the mark of the beast in Revelation is securely tethered to the Scripture. But on the other hand, Kanye West's interpretation of the mark of the beast as a vaccination or a silicon microchip is tenuously tethered to thin air. What the multitudes who follow West should know is that taking on the mark of the beast is the intentional denial in thought, in word, in deed of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Thus, rather than fearfully avoiding vaccinations, they should, with fear and trembling, resist the temptation to be conformed to the evil systems of this world, systems that play fast and loose with biblical monikers and traffic in selling and sensationalism. And this is one of the biggest problems we have in the church today, trafficking in selling and sensationalism. So why not fall in love with the Word of God all over again? Rather than falling in love with the words of social icons like Icon West, how about loudly accepting the mark of the Lamb? How about offering up your body as a living sacrifice? How? By being transformed by the renewing of your mind. As with the people of God in the Old Testament, it shall serve as a sign to you on your hand and as a reminder on your forehead. A reminder of what? That the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. For with a powerful hand, the Lord brought you out of Egypt, out from the land of bondage, bondage to superstitious ideologies, ideologies that are toxic to the body and the soul, and a horrible witness to a watching and transcendently skeptical world. It is so important that we stop falling for selling and sensationalism. And then, as I said, we learn to read the Bible for all its substantial worth. And that rather than sensationalism, we start to find out what will energize us in order to make a difference rather than being a scandal to the world. Because Christianity is the only hope for Western civilization. When we come back from the break, we will go directly to your calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And again, thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth.
Gay Girl, Good God chronicles Jackie Hill Perry's journey out of a homosexual lifestyle, a much-needed testimony for a time when society has embraced radical changes to traditional views of sexual identity. Jackie Hill Perry didn't write Gay Girl, Good God merely to point out the mistakes of her past, but to shine light on the beauty of a relationship with a good God while helping people understand the realities of same-sex attraction. To receive your copy of Gay Girl, Good God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
Jackie Hill Perry used to be a lesbian. In Gay Girl, Good God, she shares her story of embracing masculinity and homosexuality with every fiber of her being. She knew the Christian worldview on sexual identity, but how was she supposed to stop loving women when homosexuality felt more natural to her than heterosexuality ever could? Ultimately, Jackie came face to face with what it meant to be made new. God broke in and turned her heart toward Him right in her own bedroom through the light of His gospel. Read Gay Girl, Good God in order to understand. Read in order to hope. Or read in order, like Jackie, to be made new. To receive your copy of Gay Girl, Good God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Let's return to your host,
Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265, Ryan in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi.
Hi, Hank.
Hi.
I hope you're doing well still with your health. I'm just really thankful for your ministry. I've learned a lot and just appreciate how you deliver it with just gentleness and respect, but you don't stray from the truth.
Oh, thank you.
That's really encouraging. And I just had a question about the Seventh-day Adventists with the, in respect to the how they use the comma. They use, like I've heard when I've spoke to some of them, they use they say the comma's in the wrong spot in the scriptures so that it's actually, you will be with the Lord, but not right away. You know what I mean? Sort of.
Mm-hmm.
How they explain it, as where we see it, when you pass, you are in the presence of the Lord right away.
Yeah.
Do you know why they do that or how they came up with that?
Well, it's just a linguistic sleight of hand, I would say, because there is no such thing as a comma. That's something added to the translations of the Bible, but not what you'd have in the autographers themselves, in the autographs themselves. So it's just it's a game of sleight of hand and sleight of mind in this particular case. But there's, you know, the problem with people like the Seventh-day Adventists, and I've met many that are great. By the way, Seventh-day Adventism is not monolithic. It's multifaceted. I spent time in South Korea a number of years ago with Seventh-day Adventists are doing remarkable work, particularly for the poor and the downtrodden. So I never think of them as a monolith, but I think of them as being multifaceted. But, you know, the Seventh-day Adventists oftentimes, particularly the traditionalists, will say that the soul of man is indistinguishable from the whole of a man. And thus the soul cannot continue to exist consciously apart from the body. But in truth, the soul is not the whole. It's not the whole of a human being. You can find so many passages in Scripture that you don't have to worry about commas, but you can look explicitly at what these passages are saying. In Luke chapter 16, for instance, Jesus tells the story of a rich man and a beggar who die physically, and yet they experience conscious awareness in the intermediate state. And then you also have to recognize that in Scripture, sleep is a common biblical metaphor for the death of the body. So in John chapter 11, you have Jesus telling his disciples about Lazarus. This is a different Lazarus. This was a close friend of Jesus. And Jesus says, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to wake him up." And if, in fact, the soul did not continue in conscious awareness after the death of the body, it would have been incongruent for the Apostle Paul to desire to be away from the body in order to be at home with the Lord. Remember, Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn," says Paul. "I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but I think it's necessary for me to remain in the body so I can be with you." Well, the question is, how could death be better by far than further fruitful ministry if it entails soul sleep? So the point in this text, as well as elsewhere in the biblical text as a whole, is that far from soul sleep, to be with Christ is soul satisfaction. So soul sleep has nothing to commend it biblically, and that's the point.
Okay. Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Anna in Seattle, Washington. Anna listening on KCIS. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
My question is,
Okay, so I was raised in the Catholic Church, then I became a Protestant. But I guess I never stopped believing of the presence of God in the communion, the sacrament. And now I feel like the Lord is tugging me back to, I don't think I can go back to the Catholic Church. But all my kids and everybody, you know, I even had a, you know, some quarreling with my family and everything. Everybody goes to Protestant church and they're Christian, and I'm thankful for that. But now I feel like I need to go back, or I'm thinking, like, is it the same to receive God's presence spiritually? Am I missing something out because I'm not getting Holy Communion physically in the bread and the wine? So I'm at a, right now I'm reading a book called Symbol or Substance by Peter Kreef. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yes, and
so I'm getting to understand that sacraments do have physical effect on us. And one thing that I heard you say is that your son's blood had changed your DNA. And I'm just torn because I'm thinking, like, what am I going to leave my husband in the Protestant church, go back to the, I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Well, I think you're broaching a very, very important issue. I myself became Orthodox. I joined the Eastern Orthodox Church. And the primary reason was, is I came to believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And that came out of years and years of study and deliberation. In fact, not only studying Scripture, but also studying Holy Tradition and understanding the history of the early church. And let me say in broad strokes that right up until the time of about 1529, all Christians unanimously believed in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, that the Eucharist was the medicine of immortality, that by partaking of the Eucharist, you had the distribution of the real presence of Christ physically in your limbs. It became part, you know, to use the analogy that I used earlier that you referenced, it becomes part of our DNA. So this is no small matter. And I say all the way up until 1529, because it wasn't until Euclid Zwingli that you had a deviation where the Eucharist was considered merely a remembrance or a memorial, sort of something you did for God rather than something God does for you. Luther himself, who spawned the Reformation, debated Zwingli on this point. And his basic premise was, to Zwingli's query, I mean, how can you say that Christ is really present? Luther's response was, if you can show me how Christ can be one person with two natures, then I can show you how Christ can be really present in the Eucharist. This is a mystery. But it is nonetheless a mystery that we accept based on the clear teaching of Scripture as well as on Holy Tradition that gave us the Scripture. So the Church is unanimous on this point right up until the 1500s. So if for 1500 years the Church is unanimous on this point, I think we ought to take it very, very seriously. And this was a change that I made. And of course, when I made this change, the headlines were Hank Hanegraaff leaves the Christian faith, which wasn't a pleasant thing to hear. But obviously, I didn't. There are so many misconceptions that float around in this regard. But yeah, I think this is a very substantive issue. It is not one to be trifled with.
Yeah, I mean, that's why my struggle is, like, I'm going to go back. I mean, I've been wanting to talk to an Orthodox priest and see what the difference. I don't think I can go back, like I said, to the Catholic Church, but I've been wanting to talk to a priest.
Well, read my book. Sorry to cut you off there, Ann. I'm just running out of time. But read my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. It may be very, very helpful to you. Also, I did write an entry in my book, the Complete Bible Answer Book, revised and updated on the difference between Roman Catholicism and Orthodoxy, at least gives you some kind of an idea of my perspective in this regard. But in saying that, let me say that there are many wonderful Roman Catholic apologists and people that I highly esteem who are Christians within the Catholic faith, although I'm clearly Orthodox. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to being right back here tomorrow with more answers to your questions.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Concerning those struggling with sexuality, you and I have an opportunity to demonstrate the love of Christ and share the life-transforming power of biblical truth. Gay Girl, Good God by Jackie Hill Perry tells a powerful story of transformation and hope that multitudes today urgently need to hear. To receive your copy of Gay Girl, Good God, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.